Hello and welcome to the Impact Dynamics podcast.
I'm Andy Little.
My name is Rusty.
I'm Plushy.
Plushy's not here, so we have sub Josh in.
Yeah.
Josh, you're on the opener. Yeah. Let's go.
An intro.
Woo. Match director, mate. Match director. Hello, Andy.
Hooray!
Hooray! Hope that's enough.
We need your vote.
Now we've caught up to where we are on the podcast.
Right, go on back.
Roll the outro. Well, here we are. Josh, this is a bit weird.
This is extremely weird. I'm not used to being on this side.
No, you are sitting at the at the bench. Because Plushy is out. He's interstate for work.
Yep.
I have messaged him to find out what his round count is.
I thought I heard him on the intro.
Did you? Yeah, well, he was. That's not a live intro. I'm not sure if you've picked this up yet.
We just really quickly teleport to the range and back again. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. That's the way. Anyway, otherwise I would have shot more rounds because I shoot rounds in the intro. They don't count, do they? No.
I hope they don't because the item's not in there.
This is right. We probably should update our round count. Yep. Andy, have you were on? I can't see that. You're on some.
Numbers.
Some amount.
1976.
1976. Have you added any more since then?
Not.
No, we'll leave that one. Plushy's not here. So Plushy was on 3,000 something or other something, and he has not done any more. Josh, you were on. I can't. There is a light right in front of that, and I can't see a thing.
I'm on 3,271.
And what have you done since then? Because you have.
I have shot.
You have shot. Wow. 3,000.
I would have added
71. Yep.
I did 300 there.
You did a couple of the GT out in the paddock, didn't you?
I reckon I've done about 530.
Whoa.
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 Because I popped in to do some failed load dev.
Yep.
And then that didn't really go well, so I just decided I'm going to shoot all the 22 ammo I have.
Does that mean you're leading? You're at 3,801.
No, I'm going to correct that. I reckon it's 630.
Oh,
I went through a lot of 22 ammo.
Here we go.
Righto. Andy, could you update that for us, please? It's 3,901 for Josh. And let us know if Josh is in the lead over Plushy. I got a feeling he is.
I don't know if I can claim that, though, because I shot with Plushy on the weekend.
Oh, okay. So he's got – well, we'll
he
see.
He has shot.
We will see. 3,901 is where Josh sits now on our messy board. We've got to clean that up by the next episode.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Well, we'll wait for the number from Plushy. Now, we're not live streaming this one, so he can't work that out and then back calculate what he needs. So he's got to be up front. I shot as well. Don't get back over there, yeah, Andy. Get back over there.
How many rounds did you shoot?
I shot about 27. So what was I on? 574.
Stacking them up there.
We're on 601. 601 rounds. Yeah, crack the 600s.
600s.
Yeah.
Moving up in the world.
I'm up there. Well, do you know what? It was going to be more.
Yeah.
This, in a couple of days, the reason we're recording this one a little bit early is because you gentlemen was going to be us, we're going to be heading over to the Canberra to the Victrix Capital Clash.
Yes.
But we've had some challenges at work and I have to remain here. And you guys are going to head off anyway.
Yeah, we'll go have some fun.
Good.
May as well.
Hopefully someone does. So I will be on the same number next episode, but you guys will get a few in. Are you excited about shooting the first match?
Yeah.
Run by the team over there at Canberra?
Yeah. No, I'm pretty excited to see a new range, see how the guys tackle it, and just be in a different environment, try and work out, you know, what's going on in the environments in that area. And
new range and all that kind of stuff.
Cold.
Yeah. I saw there was a couple of minus mornings there.
Oh, really? I haven't even thought about it. I haven't even packed.
Just cold.
I haven't packed.
Just cold.
Well, I might just take my snow gear.
There you go.
Because I was just wearing that last week.
Yeah. Perfect. There you go.
You got some I can borrow?
You're in the snow, were you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Spent a week in the snow.
Are you shooting or?
No, I wish.
Okay.
Just carving up the slopes.
That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Mid-stage down a slope.
Well, I believe they call that biathlon.
I think
there's a whole sport based around that, actually. Anyway.
We do it better.
Yeah, sure. PRS on snowboards. That's where you wanted to get to.
I could do
Come
that.
Come on.
I could do that.
Now we're taking that. Okay, snow gear. That'll be a good way to keep warm.
Get the thermals out.
Are you looking forward to shooting the Victrix in the 22 side match?
Yeah, well, I will. Yeah,
that looks fun.
I haven't looked at why. What's happening with the side match?
Using Victrix rather than Tigger.
Well, they've got their new small bore out.
Cool, brand new rifle released. Yeah.
Very nice.
Looking very cool. Andy, are you prepared for the Canberra match?
No.
So normal then?
Yep.
Good. So sixth.
Here we come. Have you loaded yet?
I've still got ammo to load, yes. Yep. And I've got my unpacking from the ski trip to do before I start packing.
Just take all that with you.
Yeah.
Just take all that with you.
Chuck it straight in the car.
What you're saying is you're already packed.
Well, they should probably go get in the wash first, myself included.
Yeah, I was going to say something. But we've got our friends from the Bearded Chap here to cover you up.
And all your filthy smells.
You've been pouring that on, I noticed. Anyway, very good. Well, good luck. I know Plushie's heading over as well. We were going to make it all four of us go and shoot. But
there's quite a few plans that fell through with that one.
Absolutely. So anyway, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
So more exciting news I see on your phone. Yeah. The IPRF have run their first World Championship for rimfire.
They have, yes. Yeah. Over in France. Italy.
You said that before.
Europe. Oh, yeah.
Somewhere in Europe.
Europe.
Yeah.
So close.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool to see some stuff go up on the interweb. Mm-hmm. See the guys promoting it and had a few teams there. Well, one team from Australia.
Yeah.
But a few
teams from other countries. Yeah.
A few countries and stuff like that. So, really cool to see it happening.
And the Australian guys did well.
They did. They did. Yeah. Phil apparently was quite well.
Phil Lou did well, and Michael Blackburn in factory was third overall, I think, or second.
Yeah,
amazing. It was the podium.
I don't want to undersell him. Yeah, he was top three.
Yeah.
Top three.
Yeah.
And then also Jonathan in Genius was third. So that's some solid efforts.
Yeah.
Show
them how we do it.
Yeah, exactly right. It's great to see that. The US guys, obviously, to their credit, do very well, but they didn't clean sweep all the podiums this time around, unlike the centerfire comp. So it's good to see some other countries wrestle their way in.
Yeah, because how many did we send from Australia?
Definitely some. Definitely. No, like a good amount. Like,
there was
a good crew.
Eight or nine.
I thought that was a solid amount.
No, I think
there
was a few more than that. Oh, yeah, really? Like it was a good crew that went over there. So that was, I couldn't tell you the number off the top of my head. Yeah. But it was Phil Nash has been leading the charge on that, and he went over with the team and shot as well.
Yep.
All credit to him. He's put that together and
very good.
Done a very good job of it. And,
good on him.
Credit to all the guys who went and shot. They shot well.
Well done, guys. Cheers for representing.
Absolutely. Oh, we should explain why we're having espresso. Actually, we don't need to explain why we're having espresso martinis.
You tell us why we're having espresso martinis.
Well, we're having it because we normally have these at PRS matches after the match, sometimes during, but after the match, sometimes on the Saturday night, I should say, not during the actual match.
Yep.
But we won't be there, so I figure we'll just
sometimes to people's detriment as well.
Yes.
Regularly to your detriment.
It's a strategy.
Regularly to your detriment. That's ticking along.
Yeah.
We went out shooting the other day.
Wait, you did?
Mm.
that's where the 27 rounds came from.
That's where a few rounds came from.
No.
So we took we had on loan from Infrae a Ricoh 75, which is one of their big, fancy, really expensive thermals.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice to play with. And we went out with a mission, didn't we, Josh?
We did.
We were going to film a video.
We had some goals to kick.
We had some goals. So our first goal was to hit 1,000 metres using the thermal.
Oh, it wasn't to make sure your rifle still shoots?
No. Near the rifle shot. Okay. Near the 6GT shot.
Yep.
Got the 6GT out. Well, be fair. We just come back from Darwin.
Yep.
Things were in a rush.
Mm-hmm.
I was here very, very late the night before, packing up everything into the car. Decided not to take the van because we know what this place is like, and having four wheels that drive is more useful. So I was packing up my car.
Yep.
And it didn't have heaps of room.
Mm-hmm.
Decided it would be a space-saving opportunity to leave all the brass here for my 338 Lapua.
Right.
Thought that was a tactical decision.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. It was in a black case on a black bench, and I just 2 in the morning, just could not see it.
Yep, skip past it.
Yep, espresso martinis weren't involved in that one.
Mm.
So got down there, realised that was pretty much pulled up, opened the car and went, I know what's happened here.
That's slightly important.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Mm.
So you
were hoping to do load dev?
I was going to do some load dev on range, but luckily enough, Aaron was on his way down.
Nice.
So I rang him. Josh had already rung him because Josh had decided he needed some more camera gear.
Yes.
Fair enough.
So Aaron was coming to work to pick up the camera gear, and I reckon Aaron
quite
said,
quite convenient.
While you're there, also need part of the ammunition to shoot.
Otherwise, you're just throwing projectiles.
Pretty much.
Yep.
Just a lot of yeeting going
1K on. Throw, that's pretty solid.
Oh, yeah. We would have had
watch
fix
me.
We'd have to fix that in the edit. We had a drone. We could drop it from the drone.
True.
So we thought, oh, well, while we're here, we've got the 6GT. We've still got about 25 rounds or so from Darwin.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get that out. We'll shoot the first part of the video. We'll go to 1,000 metres. So put the thermal on the gun,
yep.
Shot at 100 metres, five shots. It was
We chucked an optic on there to at least like get out there to start with.
Yes, we did. Yep. Put the scope out there and you know, three or four shots and we were on 1,000 metres.
Get the data.
Swapped it over. Yep. Make sure of the data because that thing's never been run that distance.
Right.
Oh, no, tell a lie because I shot it last year in Darwin.
You did.
Oh, nice. Just shy of 1,000 metres. So anyway, but that was a year ago. I forgot what happened then. And then, so put it on, got out there, changed over to the thermal, shot at 100, zeroed it, took a few shots. We didn't have anything. Oh, no, we took some stuff with us, but we just did it sort of manually because we could walk down to the range and go and see where the bullet went.
Yep.
A bit of an unusual or different way this thermal zeroes compared to others. So we chased that for a little bit, worked out how it worked, worked out what the measurements were. Once we worked that out, we were on within two shots or so.
Nice.
Went out to 1,000. I think it was, the fifth shot?
Yeah, it wasn't many. It was actually, it was pretty quick.
Fourth or fifth. Because, as a shooter, I can't see where the bullet's going. So I can't really correct for wind. So I'm relying on the others to tell me what to adjust and that sort of gear. And, of course, they can't really see what I'm doing. Mm. We probably could have streamed that, actually, and they could have seen what I was doing. But anyway, and we got on there. We're really happy with that.
Yep.
And, then by the time we did all of that, the 338 brass had arrived.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Right. Well, I think we got Aaron out to 1,000 as well.
Yep.
Aaron got on pretty quickly.
Nice. Aaron out to 1,000 and yourself as well, Josh.
Whoa.
I didn't get on because I had two shots.
Oh, okay.
I had the last two shots and I didn't quite
that doesn't count,
get
then.
The correction route.
Well, sorry, I brought it up then.
Yeah, righto.
Sore spot.
It doesn't count.
Anyway, on to the next fun part of the day.
Yeah, so we thought, oh, well, let's set up the reloading setup and get the powder thing going. And the powder thrower was just not seemingly behaving itself.
Okay.
Right? Now, I've got a Hornady auto charge. I know that they sometimes will perhaps overthrow.
Yep.
Not too often. There's usually tweaks and stuff you can do in the settings that fixes that.
Yep.
I don't generally have much of a problem with mine. But on this day, I had a completely different problem. I would put the pan on. It would throw the load.
Mm-hmm.
I'd take the pan off and empty it into the case, put the pan back on, and it would be like point two or three off zero.
Right.
I'm like, but I just zeroed that. And I'd calibrated it and that sort of gear. And after about two or three shots, it was out by a grain.
Oh, wow.
I had one that was out by 2.3 grains.
Wow. Ooh. So consistently changing its zero.
Just
sort of like.
Yeah, losing a zero every time. And so we thought, no, this is not how it's meant to be.
No.
And we thought we'd done some prior to really noticing that. Like you sort of, every now and then, you put it back on, you set it to zero and stuff like that. You do that from time to time. And so we'd load up a couple of rounds, gone out and shot.
Mm-hmm.
And we were getting good but inconclusive results.
Right.
So like we were getting like two or three that were stacking at 100 meters on top of each other, and then one that would be like 2 inches low.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're like,
Just disregard that.
Mm.
Yeah.
But no. But then you'd print a group down there. You'd
do
two or three that were like stacking on top of each other 2 inches low. And you're like, something's weird here.
Yeah. Okay.
And
it sounds like my normal shooting.
Yeah. But you're doing that at 800 meters, mate, not 100.
Yeah.
So
that explains sixth place all the time.
Amazing, it's not 16th. So we eventually sort of worked out something was going on. We weren't sure whether it was powder.
Yep.
We weren't sure whether it was the thrower was actually had damage on the travel down or something on those lines.
Yep.
And so we thought, you know what? And then we had one shot that was warm, like hard to lift the bolt or harder to lift the bolt.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happened, that on paper was very, very close. And so I got to the point where I was like calibrating, do like two, three rounds and then recalibrating and yeah, just went and something. And as soon as we had one that was like,
heavy bolt.
Let's just bail. Yeah,
there was that one. It was that heavy bolt lift. You pull it out, you look at the primer and go, ooh, that was spicy. I think Aaron even commented, I think you were still loading when we were doing this.
I walked over as it got shot.
Yes.
And he's pulled that out. I'm like, just stop, man. There's no like.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was one. As soon as he pulled it, he was like, that was the different. Something like didn't feel that. Right. That felt.
Yeah. I mean, we were like well and truly at the bottom of the start load, but yeah, this was showing much more. So
yeah, right.
Yeah, good lesson that if you've got questions about your gear, that something's up.
Yep.
Treat it as something's up because something was up.
Yeah.
Brought it back here, and started threading. Loads on it and all over the shop.
Oh, wow.
It was kept losing at zero. Now, I think it got damaged on the way down.
Mm-hmm.
Josh had a load of rounds previous to it.
I had done it before Darwin. I'd loaded that with that.
Yep.
And I mean, it was a handy thing, I guess, that happened before I went and did my load dev because, like, I've never done load dev before.
Yep.
I got out at the range shooting my, like, because I cleaned the barrel. So I had my factory stuff I chucked in there, fouled it back up for 10 shots or so. Chucked my minimum load in.
Is this with the 223?
223.
Yep.
So minimum load, shot a couple shots, and I was like, okay. Just strung a set of three, had a quick look at it, and I was like, oh, yeah, okay, not too bad. Went up the next one and had a look at the prime, and I was like, oh, that doesn't look right. Just like, there was just a little bit in the bolt lift. Yeah. Pulled it, like, got someone to come up along. They were like, oh, nah, that's hot. And I was like, yeah, I thought so. I'm just going to leave this here. Even at the base load, there was too much pressure in there.
Toasty.
So
which is interesting because I had loaded for Darwin from that same setup.
Yeah.
Obviously prior to Darwin because that's how these things work. And fine.
Didn't have anything.
I mean, I didn't shoot. I shot a bit on paper because I was zeroing all these scopes.
Yep.
And they were doing what they were meant to do to the best of my ability of changing lots of things. Wasn't noticing anything significant. So whether or not, who knows where the issue came from. So
I'm going to bring in the rest of my rounds and pull them all and chuck them over some scales and see if they are actually accurate.
Yep. There's some scales here now. So I've got the 338 rounds ready to pull and see what was up there. So a little bit, some lessons to be learnt.
Yeah, I can bring my A&D in.
I've got an A&D here somewhere from Plushie before you run away. So.
Oh, that one? Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it is here. So, that's our next step in the process as we get back into some load development.
Mm. Well, it's interesting you say that because I've come across scale fluctuation and things before. Mm. I think I've mentioned it way back when I had a little battery-powered scale.
Yep.
And as the battery was getting flatter and flatter, my scales were changing.
Mm.
Not losing zero as such, but you just have – certain like 5-10% deflection and it would just get worse and worse. Yeah. But now it's I've been thinking about selling my balance beam scales.
Mm-hmm.
But every now and then I think I second guess the scales sometimes and then I just double check things on the balance beam and it's like that's spot on.
I did have that and I had a set of balance beam scales here and I honestly don't know where they are. So we probably should reintroduce that factor.
Yeah, it's a good handy thing to have just to reconfirm because that's never going to change.
As long as you set it up correctly.
Well, yeah, that's it.
It is good to go.
It's essentially having something that you is sort of reliable once you set it up right, being able to just double check.
Yep,
absolutely. But you shot a match, although did you? It was that 2-3, Josh, or was that 22?
I did both.
Did both?
Did both on the same
all
weekend.
All the matches.
Hence the 600 round count.
Not wrong.
Yeah.
How do we go?
The rimfire one was average at best, and that was because I was having...
And that was the good one.
Did you load that ammo?
It would have made me wet better. No, that was off the back of a few very average days, and it was one of those days I probably should have just stayed home and rested, but I was committed enough to... Because I was trying the Carles out. We've got a Carles currently here.
Yep.
That can be used. So I was like, nah, I wanna have a play while we've got it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I mean, in terms of that, it was great being able to play.
What did you think of the Carles spending some time with it?
I really enjoyed it.
Yep.
It took me a little bit to like figure out the reticle, but we had a trip line stage where you went from 25 meters to 150, but every second shot you had to come back to 50 on a KYL.
Yep.
So I figured, this is really good test to play with just adjusting the parallax each time. And having that up the top. And you dial your data and you wind up, you just wind it a little bit here and there. Being able to just go straight back to 50 for the KYL, that was amazing.
Yep.
Yeah,
you're not trying to fight a weird spot of like, all right, I want it on 50, but then you're playing at 150, yeah. you're like, yep. this is dicey.
Yep. You don't have to, reach around the scope or with your other hand. And yep.
Yeah, that was very useful. And nice. It's just, it's very bright. Like nice. The image that you get through the scope is very bright in comparison yep. to a couple of others.
Mm. So. Oh, good. Oh, very good.
Okay. Yes,
an expensive one to like.
Yeah. Did just out of interest, did you have the scope with left hand windage or right hand windage?
Left.
Left. Left. Yeah.
There you go. There you go. It's a
bit what, of what controversy. Do you run?
I run the left hand windage. Mm-hmm. Not because I typically chose it. I just thought, you know what, I'll give this a bit of a go.
Something different.
Something different.
Yeah.
I think there are pros and cons to both. I think if you're going from other scope brands or you have a mix of other optics and you're used to the windage being on the right, then just keep it with the right.
Yep.
I can see how it is useful in certain situations where you're holding the rifle with your trigger hand and you're making your adjustments with your left hand and you do want to dial wind.
Yep.
It is very, very handy. But it's that mental flip of changing the direction you dial, sort of, if that makes sense.
Mm.
No, it's very rare that we dial wind anyway. So, doesn't get a whole lot of use.
Yes. I did like the zero system on it. That was nice. Of just you've got an inbuilt tool, two screws, move it around, done.
How good is that, having the tool in the scope cap?
So good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Took me a while to work that one out. I had to have Dave come up and go, so there's an easier way to do that rather than me just asking everyone in the range if they've got the tool.
Yep.
Yeah. That was very good. What about your rim centerfire match, Josh? Yeah.
I learnt lessons. Okay. I learnt lots of lessons.
Cool. That didn't go so well then.
Cool.
No.
That's good, though. That's good.
I had a couple of average stages to start with.
Okay.
And then I had one in particular where, can't remember the stage properly, but I was making increments of sort of 0.2 in my windage adjustments out.
Yep.
It was sort of an 8 to 12 mile an hour wind sort of consistently just gusting up and down through the day.
Mm-hmm.
And this one particular stage, I think it was hit to move and just kept bringing it in. And I was like, that took me 6 shots to get on there. And I was like, that's no.
Yep.
So got off that stage. I think I had a little chat to Plushy and I was like, he's like, yeah, you should probably making like, take your target, your 2-3, like 0.5, like should be your minimum. So then the next stage up, I actually like jumped into my app, put in 10 mile an hour wind. And it was like, all right, my initial wind hold's going to be 1 mil.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't going in with a game plan. I was just like, let's see what happens when I get behind the scope.
Yep.
I was like, right, no, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to start with 1 mil wind. And then I'm going to go to 1.5 if I miss.
Mm-hmm.
And amazingly, first shot, first one, got on, first round impact, bang. Nice. You're like, cool.
That
small
helps.
Correction, went to 1.2, and you're on through it. And
yeah,
you have a little bit of gusting, and you just miss slightly off the edge or whatnot. But yeah, even then, the next stage rolling up, same thing, but missed on the first one, was like, cool.
Mm-hmm.
1.5, hit, and you're like, hey, this is way better. I'm not just winging it and seeing what happens. You're like, no, this I'm actually making
a bit of a
sensible decisions. Yep. And rolling up with the plan.
Yep.
Mm.
That helps a lot.
And when if you do miss off the side, did you find you weren't giving a bold enough correction? Like sometimes you miss off the side and you're like, oh, I'll just give it like
I just need to bring it in a little bit. And you're like, but
no, you need
like the target's that generous enough that if you bring it over that big bit, like you still might hit on the left side of the plate. Like you're not.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got plenty of room.
If you are missing off the side, you have to make a correction at least half the target width, at least. So some people just go.
And that's what I wasn't doing.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. You're not trying to bring it on just to the edge to hit. You're trying to bring that, if you're missing off that left edge, you want to bring it on to the point where maybe you're favouring right a little bit even.
True.
Yeah.
So because you've got so much bracket to work with.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm.
Oh, that's something I like. I've talked to a handful of guys about it and know about it. I've just never implemented it.
Yep.
Yeah. So actually doing it, you go. Okay, I get it now.
Yep. The hardest thing I find between going from centerfire to rimfire is calibrating my wind and my hold-offs.
Okay.
Because I just like running the 6 Creed and the 2-3 for a while, I know what sort of wind and to hold and how far off the targets. And then I'll go to a 22 comp and I'll be like,
what am I doing?
How far off do I hold with this 2 mile an hour wind?
Where do I start?
Yeah. It's just, just mental calibration between the
calibers. It's a 200-meter target. I just hold right edge.
Like, yeah, that seems right to me.
Yeah, missed by 14 meters.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, I did chuck some weight on the rifle, though.
Oh, okay.
That actually helped. I noticed that helped throughout the day.
Very good.
Even just being more balanced on a barrel.
Were these some of the new manure weights?
These were some of the new manure weights.
Have you seen those?
I have.
I've got stackable. Some sitting here somewhere.
Okay.
Well, I should have been more prepared and got them out.
Yeah, it looks like they can stack on and yeah.
I haven't seen them yet. Go get them because these look really interesting. They're meant to be stackable. So if you want more weight to it, you've got options.
You could almost like stack them out right where your bag sits, and then it's like a gamer plate,
an inbuilt gamer plate. Yeah, yep.
And weight.
Waiter plate.
Waiter plate.
Oh, here we go.
These ones are even brand new. These are freshies.
Okay.
Well, you can't sell that now.
Nah, it's fine. I think Miff he wants can package to use them up again.
All right. Bit of heft to them.
Jeez. So these are the smaller ones. So I believe both of these are 600. Well, yeah, both of them on the rifle, 600 grams.
Right, 300 each.
So I went straight for the, big boy and slapped 1.2 kilos on there.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I see. Yeah. Right. And so you get a couple of different size screws.
I believe you have to sort of ask for the bigger screws.
Longer screws.
Josh, can we please have the bigger screws?
Sure. I've got some being delivered tomorrow.
Okay. Good. All right.
Nice. Yeah. Very nice.
Let's see how that works. Cool. That would hurt.
I'm just going to hide behind this microphone.
You know what I did
once. In fact, I'm going to put them in your hands.
Hot tip, if you're flying with a firearm and stuff, I took my weights off and put them in my carry-on bag. Just put them in your main suitcase. When they look at these through the metal detector, they go,
what on earth
what are you doing?
What are you trying to do here? Yep.
Yeah, when I took that thermo up to Darwin, on the way back, I got some looks.
Oh, right.
they popped that one open. They didn't care on the way up.
Yep.
But on the way back, they did. Yeah.
There you go. Very good. Yeah, these look pretty solid.
What else you got there, Josh? What is that thing?
That's their new little thumb rest. I've chucked that on there to have a bit of a play.
Very okay. Nice.
Yeah, I was even more organized. I've played with their gamer plate.
Yeah, yep, yes.
That was quite very useful, actually.
Very good.
Oh, new little. Okay, yeah, cool.
No, good on them. They're really trying out different equipment. I've got an earlier prototype version of this where it's sloped on both sides.
Yeah.
This feels nice because you can ride it up high or have it back and just your thumb on there. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few different ways you can do it. I played with, so that's actually the one for the left-hand side. I played with the right-hand side, but having it so you can sort of grip your thumb around like
over
that.
Over that way, yeah.
I don't like it. I put like it on there, did it once and was like, nah, that's not for me.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Not the way. But
I did see with the weights, there's a couple of the chassis that they actually sort of act as an extra, just like a barricade stop.
We were just talking about that. Yeah.
I missed that.
Some width with bags.
That Plushy like, came out and he's like, it just sits on the bag.
You're like a gameplay thing. Yep. Ah, very nice.
Speaking of new bits, this is not new. Old reliable bits.
That's it.
You grabbed this before.
I did.
To cover all the smell from not having a shower for a week in snow. This is the bearded chap beard
you do,
oil.
Do what you have to do.
Exactly right, mate. Gin and tonic yourself, version.
Yeah.
Waiting for an espresso martini version, but this will do for the time being. Actually, that's a great idea. Normally. Let's talk to Luke about that. If you're not familiar with the bearded chap, Luke, the man behind the beard, he is the bearded chap.
Mm-hmm.
He's a shooter and based up in Queensland.
Yep.
And he's a good bloke and he's been supporting our podcast for a long time now.
Yeah.
Good on you. And thanks to you guys for buying this stuff because one, I mean, it's rat stuff.
Yes.
Otherwise, we wouldn't particularly talk about it because we like it. We approached him about it. So, it's excellent stuff. That's the gin and tonic one. It's your favourite one, isn't it, Andy?
Yeah, it's my daily go-to.
Yeah, okay.
You know, feel fresh. Make people think I'm an alcoholic.
There we go.
And, I've never put that one on. That smells really good.
Yeah. Really? Nice. You haven't done that one?
It's fresh.
No, I haven't done that one.
It's fresh. No. Yeah.
No, that's a good one. So they do all sorts of stuff. So make yourself feel look good. And if you go to
and
the
– smell good.
And, what?
Smell good.
Yeah. I mean, obviously. Smell like good. Right.
We don't want like a weak snowboarding musk. We want gin and tonic.
Yeah, to cover the weak snowboarding. So if you go to thebeardedchap.com/impact or you use the code
impact
at this is better than when Plushy's here. I've forgotten what I meant to say. That check out. You will be supporting Luke with the Bearded Chap. You'll be supporting us as a podcast, and you also make yourself look, smell, and feel good.
Fabulous.
Right?
Because you're worth it.
I mean, you are worth it, for sure. For sure. But
can we legally say that?
I don't know.
I've done it now.
It's done now.
It's done. Ship has sailed.
That's right. Hey, we also have a listener to thank. Now, we are doing a hot sauce episode soon.
Oh, yes. Can't wait. Yeah. How do you feel?
I'm looking forward to it. But we put the word out, and we've had some suggestions, which have been great. But we did get one sauce arrived with Josh, amazingly. You were given a sauce.
I was.
So
I nearly watched one of our co-workers cry from having it.
You've just ruined my story.
Okay.
But that was my
carry
story.
On.
We had a barbecue. Stu, who's a big tough bloke and who likes his hot sauces.
Yep.
We have a collection here at work that lives in the fridge. It's hot sauce. And we've been sort of putting this other stuff that we've been ordering from your suggestions to the side. Mm. And he's like, oh, well, can I try any of those? I'm like, you can. Yeah, you're allowed to. But I knew like a lot of them are quite, you know, challenging and figure like they're going to ruin you for the day type thing. But I said, look, yeah, Stu, you're up for it. Go for it. And, of course, he picked the one that we were told was the finisher.
Yes.
And he grabbed it. He put a little bit on and he felt that for a couple of days.
Really? A couple of days? A
couple of days.
The next day he was struggle town still. To the point, I said, do you want to, like, this is in the sort of late morning, like, do you want a coffee? You can be in and out of the toilet. He's like, oh, it's probably not a great idea. I'm like, well, it's not going to make any worse. Like, at least you give it a go. He's like, yeah, all right, let's get out of crack. So he said it helped.
Yeah, right. I feel like we've got to sign some waivers before we have some of these.
Well, I mean, it's a free choice show. You either do it or there's a lot of abuse. Your choice. And Josh has said he's going to try one.
All right. So that one, the finisher?
I regret that. Because I know I'm getting stitched up. Yeah.
So we may not do that. Anyway, but the point being, it was James.
Shout out to James.
James, so that's on its way to you. You're going to see him. You're taking him to Canberra.
I'm taking him to Canberra. He's in your spot.
That is a bottle opener.
Very good.
That looks like a rival. So,
on you, James.
We like that.
Yeah, thanks for that. We look forward to it. I haven't tried it yet. I'm looking forward to that. I believe that might be the last one of the night.
I can't wait.
Also, if I get that one, I hate you.
Yeah. So extra thanks to you, James.
So what's good to help with the hotness of hot sauce? What's good to tame
not
it down?
Not having it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Water. Yogurt. Cucumber.
Cucumber.
Yep, cucumber.
Not milk.
Not milk.
No. I thought milk was the milk's the one that a lot of people seem to think it is.
Okay.
But you speak to the guys who actually have proper hot sauce. Mm-hmm. Milk's a bad choice.
Cucumber
in the words
and yogurt.
Of Ron Burgundy, milk was a bad choice. So milk is somewhat neutral. It doesn't actually achieve anything psychological from what I can understand. So,
there you go. Well, that's good because I'm a lactard. So cucumber it is.
Cucumber it is. Water. Water's great. Oh, so crank some water. Or you go all in and go have more hot sauce.
That's it. Just keep going.
Just keep piling on.
What's the worst could happen? And then a coffee.
It's all right. Don't worry. There's going to be a lot of yogurt, lactose-free yogurt and cucumbers here that night.
Yep.
What have you got planned, Josh?
Huh? All the fun stuff. Okay. All the fun stuff.
Good.
All right.
Speaking of fun stuff, well, we made an announcement this week to the PRS members.
You did. Well, you did.
And lead the way, Andy.
Shooting the Vitrix at ACT.
Yeah. Woo!
I don't remember that announcement.
I'm coming sixth again.
Yeah, hopefully. I am finishing up with PRS this year in my role as director and whatever else I do with PRS. So that has been a decision being long time coming, working towards plans and technically handing it all back over to Ken in the US, and he is assigning it back out from there
for
his decision with where it goes from there. But went through a process of letting the sponsors know and then organisers and then the members as well. So, and then this, I guess, the first time actually publicly talking about it. So
here we go.
Yeah. I said, Andy, you'd probably ping us with some questions about it if you've got any thing that you'd think would be worth asking. Or
Here we go.
Take a few moments to talk about it because, we've been chipping away at that for the last 7 years.
And I
guess I can preempt a couple of things. People have asked why. That's a fair and valid question. 7 years has been a good time. We've taken it from literally running around in paddocks in the back of the PRI days
good times,
through
good times.
To now it's a, I guess it's a national sort of level Mm-hmm. People travel around. People come from New Zealand to keep winning the matches. Mm. And, you know, we're very, very proud and very excited about where it's got to. Mm. And it's at the point now where there's so much more it could achieve.
Yep.
And I... it's not this, but I've run out of ideas.
Yep.
Not quite, but I've run out of, like, for it to go to the next level, it needs some more energy, it needs more enthusiasm, some more motivation. Got lots going on, I'm enjoying stuff. If I stayed at the helm of it, I think it would plateau. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be in the way of it not getting better.
So I'm
yeah, very excited that there's future plans for it, that it will continue on and continue to grow and go much more than I could achieve.
Yeah.
And I'm not, there's no negativity about it. I'm excited to see where it goes. Family, like my daughters were very excited about the idea that I was going to stay home more, less travel.
You're just going to shoot more of the comps, aren't you?
That is potentially an option. That is potentially an option as well. There's enough going on here. With this, we've got some other goals and other bits and pieces, but there's a few people have been like, oh, cool. So, like, you're stepping away from this to go and do what? I'm like, nothing. Like, I haven't got a big sort of got enough going on anyway with Scoped Out, Projector Warehouse, and Captivating Attention. Yeah, I mean, if you don't think that's enough to keep it there's enough.
There's a bit
there.
Going on.
No, for sure.
There's a bit. So, but maybe just taking a little bit of a step back from being quite so all over the shop. And I think, someone who can put some focus and drive into it will take it to the next level. And I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah, no, that's great. I think that's really honourable and sort of, you know, good on you for being able to recognise that. And I guess I'll speak on behalf of everyone, like, thank you. thank you
just
for all the
appoint you to sixth place. That's it. Representative.
Thank you for all the effort you've put in, because it wouldn't have happened. Wouldn't have taken off and become what it became.
There are many people involved. I'm certainly not the only one. I mean, one of the big drivers of it is sitting over there as well. He travels more than I do these days. And of course Trent, got to thank Trent. And there's been other people that have been involved, and we could go on for hours if we thanked everyone who's been involved, all the sponsors, and here I am going. We will save that all for so. A little bit logistically, I am here till the end of this season. Didn't want to bail mid-season. Decision was probably made maybe 3 months ago. But there was nothing to actually action and do, because I'm here through to the end of the season. We want to see it. We've got agreements with sponsors and rangers and all that sort of year and shooters. We want to see a smooth transition out of this year nothing changed this year.
No, that's good.
So, unfortunately, I was planning to shoot Darwin and then shoot Canberra and then get myself a classification for next year. That was the goal, but not feasible, unfortunately. But I will be at the finale.
Fantastic.
One, because I'm involved in running it. That's probably a good reason. And then two, it'll be nice to be there for my last formal engagement in the sport in that regard.
Oh, definitely.
So, that'll be good. And no doubt we've got plenty of people to thank and talk about there. So we'll save a lot of that for that. But, it's been amazing. Amazing for you guys who have been watching, stick with us. Now, perhaps a question might be, what's happening with the podcast? Well, we're still jerks, so we'll still
talk.
I intend to, talk more about this. I mean,
Definitely.
Yeah, Mr. Sixth Place.
Yeah, and, Espresso Martini.
Keep on going here. So, look, no, there's no other, I guess, other changes to the other stuff that we do.
Yep.
Still intent for that. We got a Hot Wings episode to talk about.
Still going
to
make stupid videos.
We've got the golden yeets to look forward to.
Yep.
We've also got another secret secret. Yes. I told you there was another secret episode in the works. Mm-hmm. Yeah, end of season, end of podcast
Mic
season.
Drop.
Please don't.
Please don't. I know you're an electrician, but you still can't afford that microphone. Anything else on you thought you might ask on behalf of anyone or? You can ask.
You like stuff?
Stuff's good.
Edit.
There's been some people that came up to me on the weekend at the range and just asked a few things like is everything okay? Like all the rest of it. I think you've covered that off of there's no bad blood or anything like that. No.
And I guess the other to give context, like I spoke with Trent about this in May. Early May, right? So this is not a like an overnight, like, quick decision, this has not been a quick decision. This has been, and I probably sort of sat on it most of this year, like, you know, sort of from the beginning of the year, like, all right, when's the time? I really wanted to put a couple of good seasons that showed that the things were getting better.
Yes.
You know, and we, you look at where the matches are run now, and this is not, this is the empowering match directors to step up to the plate, and those guys have done the work.
Yep.
From where we were to where we are, like, now it's in a really good position. We've got so many, so many people. I mean, you go back to the original days between Greg Small and myself, we were alternating match directing.
It's a lot of work.
Yep. Between that and then Butters would do Darwin.
Yep.
And it was just, like, that's not sustainable. No. Now there's enough, there's enough guys who know what they're doing, guys who know far more about what they're doing than I do.
Mm.
And so, really, really happy. So it's been a long-term plan.
Yep.
And it's exciting to see how it goes. So everything's okay.
Yeah.
I still speak with Trent. Like, still mates with him.
Like I said to a few people, and I was like, they're still, like, involved with Projecto Warehouse and Scoped Out. Like, that's it's not just dropping off the face of the planet.
No. And like, my intention is to, hopefully, if they accept me next year, we'd like to sponsor it. That's the certainly is intention to remain connected to the sport for sure.
Yeah.
And so, it's time for someone else to pick up the reins and take it to the next level.
Yeah.
So,
Very good.
Look forward to it.
We'll see if we can't all shoot a match together next year.
Yeah. Try and organise it.
Well, I'm trying.
Maybe one of the local ones.
Yeah, Monado.
Mildura,
Might work. Yeah.
No. Maybe it won't be Mildura if
Plushy's going to write. Maybe we should all go to that and just be absolute.
Yes. We'll just try and game every stage.
Yes.
Pick them apart.
Just every stage. Be like, I want to speak to the match director. And then Plushy comes up and goes, what's up? You're like, hey, man. And then that's it.
His barricade's a bit wobbly.
Not even just be like, hey, this actually looks really good. Go about your day.
Yeah, just be like, you. I need to speak to the match director. MD comes up and you're like, good job, man. The stage is good.
Day's running really well so far.
Excellent. Carry on.
Go away now.
Off you go. I got a stage show.
Haven't you got match director things to do?
We could just start a yelling contest at each other. He'll come over and be like, hey.
Oh, man. So there is some bad things going on. This is the drawback. So.
Oh, dear. Cool. Very good.
Any other topics to cover? I'm sure if there's questions, like, no doubt will come up. And I look forward to the biggest disappointment was not necessarily not being able to shoot camera, being able to get to another match to sort of, some of the guys that, might not be able to see the finale actually sort of start. Not saying goodbye, but also an element of sort of a little bit of that.
Oh, for sure.
Because I know I'm not going to get to travel as much as I have previously. So it's going to be hopefully people are coming to Monado. We'll see. We'll definitely get a lot to that one.
No doubt.
Mm.
Oh, very good.
Sell out Monado.
Yeah.
Oh, that's always a good match. Monado's a good match.
Absolutely. Mm. It is. Cool. Anything else to cover, gents?
I don't know.
No?
No. I don't think so.
Well?
I've got two more barrels I need to figure out what I'm doing with.
Oh, okay. Nothing to cover except two barrels you just sprung on us?
No. Well,
okay.
No,
just, what are you going to do?
I don't know.
Thanks for bringing it up, then. What are you thinking about doing with your two barrels?
Well, I've got two six.
You remind me of that kid from Little Rascals with two pickles.
Just two barrels.
I've got two barrels. Yeah.
I don't know that one.
Okay. You look it up.
I've just got 2 6-mil barrels. They're not chambered. And I feel like I'm running the 6 Creed very slow, that it's not making sense.
Okay.
So I'm going to try and. I'm leaning towards the BRA.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why. Maybe just because it's popular and I'm following a trend.
Yep. Anything to get fifth place, mate.
All the cool kids doing it, apparently.
Okay.
Apparently so. Apparently you just throw some powder in and they work. So
okay.
It sounds like what I'm doing now.
Can you test that theory? Literally just throw some powder and...
Not with that, you can't. Not with the powder thrower that's here that's coming back.
There's a really good video from Projecto Warehouse that shows you how to reload. You should look it up.
Ah.
One that says how not to reload and actually follow that.
Yeah. I'll give that a go.
Don't follow that one. That's not Projecto Warehouse. That was Impact Dynamics, that video.
Wow. Old school.
No, old school.
Old school.
Like current with this podcast. Yeah, old school.
So
good.
Yeah, anyway, that's my thoughts. Just throwing it out there.
Okay. So you're looking for suggestions?
Oh, sure. But, I don't know.
So because you've got two of them, are you just going to run both of them really hot because you've got two barrels to burn through?
No. I'd like to see them last possibly two seasons each. Because I've
two seasons each.
Yeah, because I got the 223 trainer, which I really want to try use more at the club.
Okay.
So the 6 mil will be mainly for national comps.
Mm-hmm.
Leaning towards the BRA, just because the velocity that I sort of sit at around the 2850 to 2890
mm-hmm.
sort of suits that. Yeah, why not? Probably the other thing I'm tossing up is it worth me buying a barrel vice and the equipment to be able to swap the barrels over myself?
As well.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's what I'm tossing up. But yeah, cool. Why not? Stay tuned. We'll see how I break some barrels.
Well, something to look forward to in next episode. We'll think about having Plushy back. How much would it take to train Plushy on pressing the buttons instead?
That's pretty easy.
Yeah.
I could probably even do it here from my phone, to be honest. Just stick him at the back of the room.
Okay, cool. Got that to look forward to. Got you to decide on your barrels and also tell us about the barrel vice you bought. When yes. you had three espresso martinis one night and, no, I order one of them.
I'm going to buy this. How does this work?
Good. And Josh, you would have shot a Victrix.
I would have shot a Victrix. Yeah. Right. We would have found out if Andy can get sixth place again.
Fingers crossed.
I believe in you, Andy. You've got this. Sixth place, here you come.
Pretty high chance, really.
Again. Here we go.